Friday, and we're very happy to be able to continue presenting the very latest information and analyses with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., one of the world's foremost virologists, here every night, 1 hour, the third hour. We're going to stay with this until it's over. Today, more developments. A very important note from Japan, where that quarantined Diamond Princess cruise liner is docked at Yokohama. 420 approximately Americans, we'll get the exact figure, on board, 3,700. 13 diagnosed. Is that right, Henry? Is it 13?
Yep, we're two more today.
Okay, 13 Americans diagnosed positive with the NCOV, the coronavirus. Now, this is interesting because we have only tested out of the 410 or 20 Americans, how many have been tested, Henry?
279.
Yeah, there you go.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. Let me finish up my little intro here. One of the 13 infected is a young woman, 35, from the state of Oregon, Forest Grove, Oregon. She's one of more than 60 victims quarantined on that cruise ship. Well, they're not actually on the ship, all of them. This is interesting. Let me read this. Rebecca Frazier, 35, was on the Diamond Princess with her husband, Kent, for their 11th cruise together and her first time in Asia. She was waiting to be taken off the ship and go to a hospital after the diagnosis, she said late Thursday, Portland time. She felt okay except for a minor cough. Now, this is interesting. She will stay at a hospital on mainland Japan for at least 3 days. If she gets better, Rebecca said she will be taken back to the cruise ship to wait out the rest of the 14-day quarantine. Otherwise, she'll stay in the hospital. What the kind of a policy is that, Henry?
Well,
get it.
That's not even accurate. So, either they're giving them misinformation or they're misunderstanding information that they're given. Because, I mean, even if she is allowed to go back, which I don't know, it's possible that you know, they would let her back there because it's loaded with virus anyway. But the point is, it's got to be 10 days virus-free. So, I mean, they had bumped it up to 14 to be cautious, so it might end up being 14 days virus-free. But so far it's been 0 days virus-free because each day they get more positives. And so the idea that they're going to be out of there in 10 days or out of there in 14 days or out of there 14 days from today is just nonsense because they've only tested. They started out with 120 that were symptomatic, and then they had another 153 that were close contacts of the 120. So they started out with 273. And they kind of
273, ladies and gentlemen, out of 3,700 plus. All right.
Correct.
That's all that's been tested. That's all we know about.
Well, no, they added six. So.
Excuse me. Sorry.
So I started with 273. And then the first day, they released the results on the first 31 that they had results on.
Yeah.
And 10 were positive. And then the next day, they had tested another 71, and 10 more were positive. So we're up to 20. And then they finished off the ones they collected initially, but they got 41 more positives, so they got up to 61. And then by the time they got done testing them, there were six more that were symptomatic. So they went back and got samples from six more, and three of them tested positive. So now they're up to 64 positives. But they'll be more symptomatic tomorrow, and they'll go back to test them, or they might have already tested them, and they just have, I mean, they might have already collected them, and they haven't got the test results.
We're running at over a 20% positive rate on this 200 and whatever they've tested so far.
279, right.
279.
Right.
I don't know how many more they're even going to bother to test. Maybe their game is not to test anymore, just to see who develops symptoms and then declare them all ready to go home. This is a lose-lose.
It's not going to go. Here's some more examples to tell you how complex it's going to get and why it's going to go on and on until somebody steps in and just says, why don't you just evacuate them, take them back, take them to wherever. I mean, their situation isn't safe. Number one, they've already got, 3,600 people that have had an exposure. And just because they don't have symptoms today doesn't mean they're not going to have symptoms tomorrow. And it's not a safe environment. I mean, the husband of the Oregon case said that they didn't clean the room. She was there and was positive. And he's convinced he's going to be positive because he has to stay in the room. So he was in the room where his wife was negative.
He was negative. She was positive.
Right, right.
You said positive by mistake. It's okay. I just want to clear that up. He was negative. She's positive. The room is contaminated. He's staying in the room. Yeah.
The room's contaminated by her. So there's virus in the room, and he's theoretically negative, or he was negative when they tested him. I mean, he would have been tested a few days ago on a sample that was collected at the beginning of the week. So there's a good chance he's, in fact, already infected.
I would think so, even if he doesn't
have symptoms. Yeah. But if he isn't infected today, staying in the room where the virus is, and she thinks
toast.
That she can go back there a few days from now.
This is ridiculous.
And it's like, there are other reports that they can't really clean their clothes, and they don't want to clean their clothes, and they're just, it's just a disaster zone, and it's only going to get worse. And it's not even like if they had their room cleaned, they'd be sure that it stays clean. Because they're bringing him food each day, and the guys who bring the food are wearing hazmat suits.
And
if they go and they bring the tray into a room that somebody's contaminated, infected, then they're going to walk and grab the next tray and drop off the virus with the dinner.
Yep.
And so they're gonna spread the virus. There's other reports the guy's there, and he can hear the guy coughing next door to him. Just is coughing constantly, and he knows that this guy's infected, and he has no idea when they're gonna do anything about it, but he kind of figures, is that the guy that gets the tray of food right before he gets his? He doesn't have to go next door to get infected. He could just wait for the hazmat guy to bring it into him.
I'm sorry to laugh. This is madness. It's complete insanity. They've got to empty the damn ship.
The longer it goes on, the more, I don't know if you ever saw it. It's a Twilight Zone episode. It's called To Serve Man. Okay.
I certainly did. Yep.
And this is a rerun. It's basically these guys. There was an alien flying saucer came in, went and handed them this book that was in their language,
right.
and they didn't
right.
know what the book said. And somehow they communicated to them that they would take them back to their planet, and that they would show them all these wonderful things,
yeah,
and then they could come back.
A good time was had by all.
They were decoding, and they decoded the title, and the title of the book was To Serve Man. And they were trying to figure out what's in the rest of the book. Meanwhile, all these people were volunteering to go on this trip, and they all start going into the flying saucer, and right at the end, as the drawbridge or whatever, you know, the ramp is actually being pulled up.
Yeah.
Pulled up, and they're all getting sealed into this flying saucer. The guy comes running out, and he says, "We've decoded the book, and it's a cookbook." So that's how it kind of ends. So these guys are basically flying away to be eaten for dinner, and that's what this ship's occupants are. They're on this ship, and the virus is having a feast. You know, it's sitting there, and there's one right after the other, they is available for them to infect and reproduce and make more viruses, and that's just what's going to happen. That each day you're going to say, oh, there's three more positives. Oh, there's five more positives, and the people on board are just kind of thinking that, you know, and you're going to start the clock again, and it's 14 days from today, and then.
Right.
And it's just ridiculous. And some of are going and you know, telling Trump to rescue them. And
there are people asking already.
They've got internet. They've got internet access.
Well, so far, let's see how long that lasts.
And then it's getting written up in the local papers, and they're saying, mm-hmm. I mean, the guy from the UK, this positive, he was on his honeymoon, so. He's going to the, you know,
the UK guy is positive. I didn't know that. What's his name?
Well, there's more than one. There's one guy who's on Facebook, and then the one positive is on the ship because it's his honeymoon. He's on his honeymoon, and he's positive. And so the bride's going to be on the ship. He's going to be in the hospital, and. There's another one. I think they needed medical attention. They contacted their insurance company. The insurance company said they would cover an airlift to take them off the ship. And the U.S. and Japan said that they're under quarantine. He can't leave for 14 days until he completes the quarantine. You know, they, it's illegal to take him. To transport him when he's been exposed and he hasn't gone through the required, you know, 14
you know,
days.
What's clearly going to happen here, and I read the story that I quoted from, and I couldn't believe what I'm seeing. If she's going to stay at the hospital at least 3 days, this Oregon woman, and if she gets better, she'll be taken back to this ship of death to wait out the rest of the 14-day quarantine, which really ought to be about 9 days by now. At any rate, they gave her a 14-day clock. They're going to send her back to the ship. This is crazy. You know,
the clock got reset today. The clock's been reset every day since they started releasing the
test results. Yeah, I figured they would. Look, they're all going to get infected if they keep them on that ship, if they aren't already. That's the bottom line. And they're not testing. Have they announced any more tests? No. No more tests.
They announced six today. Today was six more tests. They completed everything yesterday. They completed
the first
273.
Okay. Right.
Between the time they collected and completed those, six more people developed symptoms. So now they went back and got six more. Now, I don't know if they went back today. They might have gone back yesterday and got six samples and then released the results today.
But
and
how many are they doing another, mass? Are they doing mass testing, Henry, or not?
No, they're just testing those
the people
that get
who, yeah.
symptomatic and, right. between tests. So, for them to get out, they would have to, essentially, if anybody gets symptomatic between now and 14 days, they they would reset the clock. So basically, anybody that got symptomatic between now and 14 days would have to test negative. And then I'm not sure. I'm almost positive that for them to then leave, they would have to essentially test everybody on the ship, even if they didn't have symptoms, to make sure that they didn't have virus.
Yes. Good. That's good health policy.
And if they tested 3,700, there's no doubt. Or by then, there might only be 33,000. There might be 700 they pulled off by 14. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. It's like no way are they going to go for 14 days anytime soon. You know, they're going to continually become infested.
They're letting them out of the cabins too. You know that. They're letting them out to walk around.
Yeah, they're walking around. They're supposed to keep, 5 feet apart or something like that. And you see them. They're out. And they want to take a look and get some fresh air. They're leaning across on the railing. And then, 10 minutes later, somebody else comes by and leans on the same railing. And, they were apart while they were standing there, but they basically were touching the same objects, and so it's just a matter of time between
more people getting infected.
And it's 3,700 people. I mean, it's not like there's 300 people and they don't really come into contact with each other. They definitely walk through the same space and touch the same objects.
They have to. They go down the same halls, the same corridors. They're exhaling.
And they got these guys bringing them food in hazmat suits. So, I mean, the guys who are grabbing the trays, if they grab a contaminated tray going back, they're picking up the tray.
That's right. They grab one,
and then they're safe because it's just on their gloves, and then their gloves touch. It's just crazy. It's like you're not going to, because they're staying in their room or, limiting their contact when they go outside, there's just 3 meals a day in each Zoom in each room, and they got to bring them in, they got to take them out, and it's just
a matter of time before they begin they're going to start.
It's
screaming.
An unsafe environment. I mean, if you really got an infection and you're in a hospital, they're not going in back and forth, and I mean procedures to basically make sure that, you're in a negative pressure room. These guys aren't negative pressure rooms. If you're in the hospital and you got an infection like a coronavirus, then you're going to be in a room where the air can only go in. It can't go out. It's not a ship. There's nothing to keep the air in and out.
Who said the rooms were negative pressure? Did somebody say that?
In hospitals, they're negative pressure.
But not on the boat.
Not on the ship.
It's ridiculous.
No.
It's like they're trying to infect everybody on the damn boat. I'm really serious. I'm not joking. They couldn't be doing much more to try to do that. This is getting worse. And those people are going to be screaming on social media to get out.
Some are already doing it. Well, right. The numbers are going to keep going up. They're going to realize that it's not now, whatever, 14 minus X. It's 14 because they got positives today. And I'm sure they've got more samples that they've got collected. I mean, they issued another press release today. They put out a new press release each day. And, initially they were saying how many they collected and how many they were going to test and how many they tested so far. These six just came out of the blue. It was kind of like, because I was wondering, what are they going to do next? Because the original plan was that they were going to wait 10 days. And then they were going to go ahead, and if they didn't have anything, then they were going to do it like a final test in 10 days. But, now it's clear that some new people developed symptoms. They got the test, the samples. I don't think they even get it done the same day. So the six that were announced today, and it was announced at the very beginning of the day there, you know, they had the test results yesterday, and then that means they had the samples the day before that. So they have X number of samples that are sitting there that are being tested right now. Mm-hmm. And they'll be announced on Sunday or Monday. And each day, you know, and it's a high percentage. I mean, you know, half of the samples they tested, they only tested six. They got three positive.
Henry, are they taking any more new samples now, or have they paused? Do we know?
That's what I'm saying. They did not announce these six. They did not at any time prior to these six.
No, we talked about that. More, we didn't have any knowledge
that they had
that
six
yesterday.
More no. that had developed symptoms, and they were going to test them. And they had to have known, you know, based upon how long it took them to collect, test, and announce the prior ones. They knew about these six people when they issued yesterday's press release or the press release before that, and the press releases get shorter and shorter. All the press release says is we had tested six more passengers, and we got three positives, and now the total is 64. And that's basically all the press release says. And then,
wow.
You know, some of the reporters go and get a little bit more information. And so it turns out, well, it's not even clear what the information is. I mean, there's one agency said that the three are two Americans and one Chinese. And then a New Zealand paper says, there are now two New Zealanders. So that one of the positives today was a New Zealander. So exactly what the nationality is isn't clear. And then somebody else knew what the ages were, but none of that was in the press release. So individual reporters would ask that, and they would end up getting it into their report. And so the full set will probably come out, and whether this, you know, I think two were Americans, and whether the third one was Chinese or New Zealand, I don't know. But you know, eventually the numbers will come out so that you'll have an idea how old they are.
Can you turn that down, Todd, please? Thank you. Go ahead, Henry.
And then it turns out one of the 64 is got underlying conditions. His condition is now severe. So you're going to have people that not only are coming off and say, well, yeah, I got a little cough. It's really not that bad. You're going to have people that, well, they're hooked up on an ECMO machine because, you know, there's only one to serious right now. And then, it's just going to change each day. All of a sudden, you've got somebody else to serious.
Excuse me. Are they theoretically taking off every positive case from the boat and hospitalizing them?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, well, and they've got about four different hospitals in Japan. So anybody that's positive comes off the ship. Now, I've you know, what you said is the first I heard about anybody going back on the ship. You know,
what the story said. I don't believe it either.
But the number is wrong. So that's why I'm not even sure, because the clock definitely resets, and there's a couple reports that said that, but. It's just logical. I know for certain that the clock resets, so that they basically have to be on a ship that hasn't had any positives for whether it's 10 days or 14 days. It's whatever set period they decided is what they're going to consider to be disease free, and it's got to go that consecutively. And if somebody on the ship is positive, then it says, well, the virus is still there. Although it's kind of crazy because you know the virus is still there. I mean, nobody's cleaning out the virus, you know, especially in the room, at least according to these reports, according to the husband of the one that's positive. He's saying, you know, that she left, but, you know, the virus didn't. And I'm sure that's what the situation is that they're bringing in food and taking away trays, but they're not doing any type of cleaning because
especially
these guys, right? And these guys are going in and out anyway. So even if they clean the room, you know, somebody that's sick was walking around, but it hadn't been tested yet, and they're coughing, and they virus on the railings or on the carpet.
Oh, this is bad.
They'll be tracking it back into the room anyway. So, you know, they take their shoes off, and all of a sudden it's on their hands, and then they kind of touch their eyes, and all of a sudden they're infected. So it is literally this disaster movie, and it's ongoing, and it's kind of like you get an update each day. Each day is kind of a new story that how many people were tested and how many were positive. How many are left on the ship? they're taking 64 off. They had 3,700. Wow, there's still over 3,600 people on there. And that's what the situation is. And it's not something that you're starting with that big a number and that there's any expectation that if the requirement is that you got to go 10 or 14 days without a positive. Uh-huh. And that's essentially what happens with countries. When countries have, you know, some type of, you know, a bird flu or something, and they're, before they can be declared free, they've got to go, you know, for that, it's usually X number of months or without a case before they lose this designation that, you know, it's not safe to export any poultry products from that. Well, they break it up. Sometimes it's from the country, sometimes it's from the state, sometimes it's from the county. You know, it depends how they negotiate what's quarantined and off limits and not. And this is the same thing, but, you know, right now it's the ship. It's not anybody on the seventh floor can't leave or something like that. It's the ship. And,
this is really one of the most incompetent things I've ever seen allegedly intelligent health professionals do. I don't get it. And they remember, you have to all remember this, the total of 3,700 plus people. How many have been formally and officially tested, Henry, to this point that we know about?
279.
They are almost intentionally, it's like it's some lab experiment. They're almost intentionally tracking to see how fast this virus can overtake everybody on the damn ship. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that they're not removing the virus. So, you know, No matter how many people they test, it's kind of like they've got to retest them at the end. So they're kind of the symptomatic one, you know. And
they can't go into a stateroom and clean the viruses out easily. We don't know how long that virus stays alive in an inert, non-hostile environment outside the body. I've seen results projected up to 3 weeks now that it will stay in a non-hostile environment outside the body, dry, up to 3 weeks. I can't prove if that's true, but I'm reading that from allegedly intelligent people. Yeah. We don't know.
Right. And frankly, that there's a reasonable likelihood that's how the whole thing began. I mean, identified a problem because one person basically got off the ship. He actually flew to Japan, got like a one-way ticket, if you will. He got on the ship into Japan, and when it got back to Hong Kong, he got off. And when he got off in Hong Kong, he got tested because he was coming off the ship and going home, and he got tested, and he was positive. And since he was positive, then they started looking at the ship to try to figure out if others were positive there. And in all likelihood, the activity might not have even started with him. It might have started with people that were on the ship on the last trip. And that basically there was some virus on the ship
easily.
And some people on the ship got infected, and they infected other people.
Yeah.
Or other people went off at a different port when they went to Vietnam, or when they went to this other location in Japan. And there, so there were multiple stops, and people got off, and they don't know where they went, and they wouldn't know where to tell them not to go anyway. You know, it was kind of like they're going to countries that have cases, and they one way or another brought the virus back on, or it was the prior tour group that did it, and they, you know.
It could easily
be cleaned well enough,
easily.
Or what? And
what do they got to
started.
Spray that's going to kill the virus? What do they have to spray? I mean, seriously, antiviral sprays to spray the whole damn ship inside? Ah, oh, come on.
Yeah. Well, that's what they should be doing. But exactly what they're doing. And I mean, these ships are big, and
the nooks and crannies.
I don't know.
About it. Every stateroom, every toilet, every faucet handle.
They recycle them. My guess is they recycle them pretty quickly. So as soon as one group leaves, the next group comes on.
I would think a couple of days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have to rename that ship. It's the Diamond Princess. We should rename it the Princess Corona. That's what it's going to end up being.
Yeah. So it's, and basically now it's the whole world is watching because they've got 56 different nationalities out there. And it's like each day a country finds out that, you know, there's, you know, 8 or 10 or 15 of their citizens that are on board that all of a sudden they're saying, well, there's so and so on there and they're captive on there because they're calling their relatives and they're saying, well, I don't know, we've been on here X number of days and we thought we were getting off on such and such a date and they just got another positive. So they're talking about us still being on here for 2 more weeks and their relatives are saying, you're where? and it's just kind of go on and on because it's not going to be 2 weeks and it's not going to be that, you know, they were on this ship and they identified X number of people and they took them off and all they had to do is wait it out. It was they just got 6 more tested today and 3 or more positive. And, you know, I don't know. Rumor has it that so-and-so wasn't in that group and he was coughing and they got a sample from him. So they must have, you know, at least this many samples to test. And it's probably true. And so tomorrow they'll get another report. They had 4 people that were positive, that were symptomatic, and there were only 2 that were positive. It'll just be a daily report like that. And if it's a little bit lower, I think, well, it's finally going down. And then, you know, a day later, there'll be twice as many, and they'll say, oh, how did that happen?
This could go on for a long time.
Right.
Let's listen to a little sound bite here. This is that British guy and his wife, David and Sally Abel. You've seen them before, Henry, and many of you listening have. Here's their live feed today to News 4 in the UK. Let's listen just a little bit to see what they have to say. The headline said dozens more infected, but let's see. Here we go.
Risen significantly. Do you still feel calm? Mm. Do you feel more worried now?
Well, perhaps a little bit more anxious that there are so many, but also today somebody who we've been quite close to during the cruise was taken to hospital, so that's a bit more concerning.
Has the information changed at all that you're getting?
So we're up to date with exactly what you've just told us. 61 have been taken from the ship today. The changes that we've had on board are that we've been given a digital thermometer. Every passenger has their own, and we're requested to take our temperatures every 4 hours. If the temperature exceeds 37.5, we have to phone the ship's medical team, and then a swab will be taken from our throat. That will go off for
analysis.
And that could then lead to being taken off the ship and put into a medical facility.
And Sally, you were saying there that someone that you had become friendly with on the cruise has been taken to hospital. Have you heard how they're doing?
Well, he was actually taken off without any symptoms. They did a throat swab on him. He had no visible symptoms. And they're wondering whether he might have been a carrier. But, you know, he still contracted it from the ship, but he just hasn't come out with it.
All right, another asymptomatic spreader, sounds like. And,
right.
This is not good.
And just to give you an idea, speaking of asymptomatic spreader, this is kind of a related story because it has to do with the same virus and the same asymptomatic and how long this can go on. The, if you recall, there was the cluster in, Germany that went and started with a business associate from Singapore coming to a meeting. And then one person had it and she went back and developed symptoms. Actually, it sounds like she might have been feeling kind of fatigued while she was still there, but she wasn't coughing or anything. So anyway, she developed more symptoms going back and was coughing and tested positive in Shanghai and then notified them. And so then they started testing people that were in the meeting that she attended. I think there were several meetings. And first they got one positive, and then they kind of announced they had a positive, and then they got four more positives, and then they got a few more. And then one of the employees' child was tested and was positive, and then another child was tested and was positive, and then his wife was tested and was positive. And these were sequential. So that as soon as one was positive, then they tested everybody that hadn't been positive, and then they became positive. And they were asymptomatic, but they were being tested because they were contact. Mm-hmm. And today they just announced another one, the wife of another employee. So this has been ongoing for a couple of weeks now.
2 weeks.
And so, they've never gone 14 days without somebody associated with the company being infected. And their company doesn't have 3,700 people in Germany at their office. You know, it's much, much lower than that. And they're coming just one, right? Yeah. And if you count their dependents, it's nothing like 3,700. And so, it just goes on and on and on. And these people are asymptomatic when they're tested, but that doesn't really mean that they would stay asymptomatic. They're doing the same thing there. If they're positive, they're going into the hospital. And so most of these people that have been positive, are still in the hospital and, waiting to be X number of days without being positive before they're released, and some of them may be on the upswing. So they're asymptomatic when they get tested. I mean, on the broadcast there, she's saying that he was taken off and was a carrier, but you know, you could call him a carrier, but you could also say that he's just in an early stage. So the fact that he was positive for the virus and not showing symptoms doesn't mean that he's not going to show symptoms in the hospital in the next X number of days. And then, once they get back under control,
some other things too. So this is, as I said from the beginning, a Hollywood horror film, and it's going to get worse. Here are some headlines, and then we'll get Henry to elaborate on them. In China now, the number of people under lockdown. Just all of you out there, just guess. I'll give you a few seconds. How many people in China now living in cities do you think are in lockdown or quarantine? 400 million now in China. All right. In China, the official numbers are 62,000 cases. That's 34,500 double confirmed, 27,600 single confirmed. You got 62,000 cases. In Hubei province, which is like a state, Hubei, in the middle of Hubei is Wuhan, the city. Hubei province, 24,000. Deaths are now 699. We'll call it 700. As you heard, 64 coronavirus cases confirmed on the Princess Corona cruise ship. So there we go there. U.S. newlyweds trapped on the Princess Corona say the situation is desperate and they have appealed to President Trump for help. So far, Trump hasn't been able to muster enough energy to even tweet about that. So we'll watch and see what he says. It's going to be a panic situation on that ship pretty soon. If you watch, people are going to crack. They're going to start running down the halls, yelling. I predict. If you can't do this to people, they're already scared. They're, see, every day somebody else gets taken off the boat, another one dead or dying or sick. It's crazy. We're talking about a major issue here that's not going to go away. All right. UK, Germany, and Italy now have at least 31 in the aggregate who are infected. It's continuing to spread in other countries as well. We've got it all at rents.com for you there. There's a good story in there about masks and how much good they do. It's interesting. I've got pictures that I'm going to put up, and they're in that story. If you want to look at that story, everyone, it says, no masks, so Asians improvise. Amazing photos. You got to see what some of these people have done to try to come up with a mask substitute. One woman has a half of a grapefruit stuck on her face with strings. Somebody else has an enormous piece of lettuce with eye holes cut out. That's a mask. Plastic masks, plastic bottles, like 1 gallon jugs, people are using those. It's very sad. It's tragic. There's just no mask for these people. Anyhow, Henry, go right ahead.
Okay, well, along those lines, there is a coronavirus task force, and they held a press conference today, and they said, you know, the U.S. is contributing, I don't know, 150 million or something in aid to China, and it includes masks and supplies because they have a shortage there. And if you listen to that task force, I don't know, it was streaming live. My guess is it's still accessible, you know, they were kind of asked, you know, are these limitations on movements and quarantines really going to keep the virus out? And they kind of said, well, they're really buying time. That you know, if it's as contagious as it is, and there's, you know, hundreds, you know, of thousands of cases, that you know, it's going to be very difficult, and they're, you know, they're working on some clinical trials, and they've got a vaccine candidate they're working on, and
it'll be a year for a vaccine.
Right. Well, all they could say about it, I mean, it's interesting, the vaccine was that they haven't had a setback yet, so that they're going to do an RNA-based vaccine. So they got the RNA, and they were able to get the RNA to make proteins, and they were making the right proteins, and they're getting ready to put it into the animal. Mm-hmm. So everything, mm-hmm, as far as making the vector and everything is going forward. But it was kind of like, it's going to be 3 months before they even start clinical trials on humans, and then they got to go, you know, X amount of time on a safety to make sure that, you know, it's got to get past phase one at a minimum, and you know, technically it's supposed to go all the way through phase three. So you're right that it's got to be at least a year for a vaccine to be ready. There's an antiviral that they just started a clinical trial, so I think that works in a test tube, but they haven't really tried it against the coronavirus and anything, you know, beyond the test tube. So they've got to do those types of trials to see if it's effective against this virus. Mm-hmm. And then kind of go from there. So those were kind of a couple of things, and then they're developing an antibody test so that they can see whether you've been exposed to it, because they really don't have, I mean, that's one of the issues, and that's with the asymptomatic, and they really don't know how widespread the virus is. I mean, for all they know, there's, you know, thousands of people that were asymptomatic, and the virus is already here. And it's just a matter of the level to get high enough for somebody to get sick enough to go into a hospital and say, well, how did you get this virus? And there's no clues. You know, it's like there's no ties that they were in China or they were in some other country that's now got cases. And you know, they got, they're local and they don't know anybody that has the disease, but they've got it. And so if they have an antibody test, they can tell whether you've been exposed to it and develop antibodies. They can try to get a better handle at how widespread it is and how it transmits, because there's a reasonable possibility that, you know, a lot of people are infected, but you kind of, it's at a low level, and other people may get the virus but not develop symptoms, and you got to get to a certain level where somebody's immunocompromised or is older, or somebody gets the virus at a low level and it gets up to a high level, and either they get sick enough so that you realize it's there, or they infect somebody else that's also older, and then all of a sudden it shows up. So,
as a virologist, how infectious is this particular virus? How easily is it spread on a scale of 10?
Well, they got this R naught kind of number, which tells you how, on the average, how many people does one person infect? It's got to be below one to keep it from expanding. So if one person is infecting more than one person, then the number of people infected are going to keep on going up. And the, to give you an idea, something like flu, which is fairly infectious, is, I think the R naught is like something like 1.5 or so. You know, so on average you do, so it does go up. And because
when Henry says R naught, he's saying R-O.
Zero.
As in naught. R-O. All right. The R-O is one, then you've got something that's reasonable. You got an RO of 2, you got problems. Now, I've read the projection here is an RO of up to 4.
Correct. So it's between 1.5 and 4. I mean, it's got a wide range, but 1.5 isn't good, and 2 or 3 or 4 is bad, and so, you know, it's hard. Hard to get the numbers because you don't know how real the data is, type things. So, you know, they're looking at numbers in China, and you know, they you know, some have come out and said it's 3-something, you know, somewhere between 3 and 4, and that would make it very contagious and very hard to contain. So that
think about that when you think about the cruise ship, man.
Right. And so, and then the other question is, you know, how many people are just asymptomatically infected? So they've been infected and they've got the virus, and they don't get recorded as having it. So that's part of where the antibody test would come in.
Their friend on the ship was, and he was obviously spending time with them. So.
It
begs the question, though, Henry, why aren't the authorities sampling everybody on the ship? A swab, a swab, a swab. They're not doing it. And the answer is obvious.
Yeah, I mean, if they do everybody, they say, well, there's really 700 people on here that have the virus. And, you know, the other 3,000 people that don't have the virus are saying, and you want us to stay on here with the 700 until for another 14 days?
And all the virus, door to door and wall to wall?
We're none of us getting infected. So, Yeah, because if you can pick it up, you know, without symptoms, then it's almost definite that there's a lot more than
that's, you just heard
than
it
the
from
64
the,
that have been pulled off.
Mr. and Mrs. Abel.
And so that's how they're monitoring it. I mean, what they said is exactly how it's being done. They've all got a thermometer. They all have to call it in. If they get a 37.5, which is about 1 degree above, it's about, you know, 99 or so. So they don't even have to have a high temperature. If their temperature gets up to 99 degrees Fahrenheit, then they're going to, or actually it's probably 99.5. So if it gets close to 100, you've got to call it in. And then they'll come and take a sample. And that's what they're getting. So, you know, they had 6 samples and 3 of them were positive. So, I mean, it's a good assay. I mean, half of the people that it gets up that high really do have the virus. And that's who they're taking off. But it's going to just keep on going on and on. Just one last thing. It does look like an animal source has been identified. There's these anteaters that are called Pangolin. And they actually were doing another study. They have a lot of coronaviruses, so they were doing something similar to what others have done with bats. And they had isolated a bunch of coronaviruses. And then when the sequence came out for the one that's affecting humans, they found that it was 99% identical. So that may really be the reservoir. These animals, I guess, have a value because of the scales on there. They're scaly, and I don't know what they're using for. I think they're using for medicine, you know. And in any event, there would be interactions between this animal and human. And so if the animal had this virus, it's conceivable that's how this really got going.
The interaction is that humans in China probably were eating them.
Yeah, they do, but it sounds like they want them more for the scale. So I don't know if they're that widespread as far as food.
The name of the animal for all of you out there is pangolin, P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N, pangolins. Look it up,
right.
Pangolin. So pangolin and suspected as potential host of novel coronavirus.
Right. And it's a good bet because of the homology, and that would make it much, much less likely that, you know, this has anything to do with bioweapons or vaccines. There's a lot of these pangolins out there, and much easier to envision that's how it got going, because there's no real reason that if you were doing a vaccine, you'd take something this exotic to make as a target. And bioweapons is just crazy because you can see what happens to the virus, that you can't control it.
Correct.
It mutates, it evolves, and it goes wherever it wants to go.
All right. Okay. We got to wrap it up. Henry, thank you.